Amen. Good morning. Today, praise the Lord, this has been on our heart for a while. Mr. Gary talked to me last Sunday, and I think this is a good day. Today, we just decided to do it, especially since Reagan was going to share with us. So this morning, hopefully we'll have an old-fashioned singing and testimony time and prayer time. So we'll go ahead and get started. We've got several singers lined up to, like Gary said, to glorify the Lord, to honor His name and lift up the name of Jesus. And then we've got a couple of people that are going to come up and share what God's done for them. And so if the Lord puts it on your heart while we're singing, and Gary's going to give some opportunities for other folks to come up. You don't have to. Don't feel pressured. But if the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart to come up and stand up here and just brag on Jesus for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of what God's been doing in your life, this is what this is all about, is the testimony and the singing and lifting up the name of Jesus. But first, we've got Reagan. Come on up, Reagan. Reagan's going to come and share his, and most of you guys know his story, but I'm sure he's going to touch on it a little bit. But he graduated high school, and his graduation speech, I asked him to share it with us this morning. So we'll start out with that, and then Mr. Gary will come up, and then we'll move on. Amen. Give Reagan a hand.
I feel very fortunate to be walking across the stage with each of you, congratulated and rewarded for achieving one of my biggest goals and overcoming the toughest challenges I've ever faced. But I am more blessed to be standing here today. I was a completely healthy boy until I contracted Rasmussen's encephalitis, one of the most evil diseases a young person can get at the age of 10 years old. It's an extremely rare neurological disorder that wants to ruin every single part of you, and there is absolutely no cure for it. I fought multiple seizures, mental illness, and major pain on a daily basis, and spent my childhood growing up at Shands Hospital, receiving numerous yet expensive treatments and procedures, leaving me unable to do what any normal kid can do. And I was even put in situations thinking I might not ever see my loved ones ever again. I never realized how, any day, at any moment, a lot of us will be going. A lot of us will have our lives taken in no time. And after several long talks with God, He taught me one thing to keep in mind for the rest of my life. We all go. Any day, any moment, any minute, every single one of us will go, even when we least expect it, even right now. So, if you want to make the best of this life, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to rejoice, everyone, and let's rejoice with the life that we have right now. That's the most important thing I ever learned from my traumatizing past. And because of this, I decided to take on one of the biggest sacrifices that no kid should ever have to make. And I'm sure that all of you think that having half of your brain surgically removed is probably the most bizarre thing that you have ever heard. And I, along with my parents and my doctors, decided to have a hemispherectomy surgery to stop the excessive seizures. And while the surgery was successful at reducing the seizures, it left me paralyzed with impaired vision, impaired speech, and learning deficits. It dramatically changed my appearance and I received several years of my education so I could live a happy, joyful life. And I must say, the drastic change was completely worth it. I am now 4 years free of epileptic seizures, psychiatric disorders, and several other debilitating side effects and symptoms from both the disease and treatments involved. But most importantly to me, I have found Jesus. People call me a walking miracle, and I am also called a living testimony. And even through all this, I was bound and determined to get my high school diploma. And this is when I heard of Coastal Plains Charter High School. I came to Coastal Plains behind my education, and here I've been able to work with a less stressful load, getting to work at my own pace, getting to help when I really absolutely need it, and even getting to interact with my teachers and other classmates who seem to have the same struggles as I do. And I couldn't have asked for a better environment, everyone. I would like to owe a big special thanks to my site directors, my teachers, and my mentors for this dedicated to you on behalf of the CPCHS Class 2021. Today's day, we say a big farewell to each other as we continue to move on with our lives and listen to what our hearts call us to do. I would like to thank my family, my friends, my doctors and nurses, and most importantly, Jesus Christ, my Savior, for always encouraging me to keep fighting a good fight. And thank you for the best 3 years of education I ever had. And thank you for celebrating this transition with me today, for this is not the end, everyone. It's just the beginning. As we continue to move on with our lives and work to achieve our goals and overcome our biggest challenges, just know that a little faith is all you need, and whatever you do, work at it. Work at it with all your heart, because the best is yet to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Reagan. It's hard to follow that, isn't it? What an inspirational story. I know one thing. God loves you, son, and so do we. Very much.
Good morning. I'm glad to see all of y'all here. I'm glad we can visit. I'm glad we can share. And I want to start by saying I'm thankful. Thankful for my health and for my family, for my church family. I know we're all going through times of stress. Even good stress is stress. But Emily's at home. She's on the mend. She's doing fine. She's just wore out, and so that's where she is today. And we did not have children's church this morning. For several reasons, her being out, fatigue, the type of service we wanted to have this morning. But, and I know there's kids in here. I can see you. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing in Children's Church. One of the goals that Emily and I have had is to try to lay some foundations of truth, of knowledge about the Bible, about our Christian faith, about what we believe and why we believe it. And so we've gone through several different focuses over the last year or so. And lately what we've been talking about are the disciples. What is a disciple and who are the disciples? And so we're going to make it a challenge for the kids to learn the names of all 12 disciples. It's kind of a question, you know. I can't name them all, so I figured we should learn it. And so far, we've learned about five of them. We've learned about James and John, Peter and Andrew, two sets of brothers. All right, they were fishermen, and Jesus went up to them and said, "Follow me," and they did. We talked about how it was a great honor to be called out, to be asked to follow somebody. And then later they came across Matthew, who was a tax collector. All right. Not a very favorable position. People really didn't like what he was doing. But Jesus asked him to follow him, and he did. So we got five out of the 12. Well, next comes, Philip and Nathaniel. Now they're not brothers, but they know each other. And I'm going to read in John 1:43 about how Jesus calls them out. We're going to talk about it real quick. So it says in verse 43, it says, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip." So he found Philip. He said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from a town, Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. So we'll stop there. So you can see real clearly that Jesus saw Philip and said, follow me. Now we've all had an experience probably in our lives, either on a mission trip or in an act of service or in a worship service, where we felt the Spirit of God call us out and say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to believe. Look, I'm here. I'm calling you out. Follow me. But it's different for Nathanael. Nathanael, he got invited by somebody. All right. Now, these are little cards that Dallas gave me. It says, you're invited. And it has something about our church, directions, what to expect, and where we're located. And Nathanael wasn't like the rest of the disciples. He wasn't called by Jesus directly. Philip, being overwhelmed by his experience with Jesus, couldn't help himself but share what he knew about Jesus, which was very little. He didn't have any more information. He didn't have any more spiritual growth. He wasn't more equipped than he was 5 minutes ago. He just knew the truth about who Jesus was. And he said, let me go tell somebody. And so he did. He told Nathanael. And Nathanael's response, we may have had a lot of the same responses about us. Can anything good come from Nazareth? See, where you're from doesn't have to determine how useful you are to God. What you've done, who you are, where you're from. And so Nazareth apparently, I don't know, Nathanael didn't think it was the best place. And so I want you to know that God is calling all of us to do something. Something in our families, something in our communities, something here at church. And it might take just inviting someone like Philip did. So maybe this card is useful to you. Maybe it's just an encouragement that maybe you need to speak up and go ask somebody. Maybe that's all they need. But we're all called. We all are asked or invited to be disciples. And I want to encourage all of you to do that. And if you're not involved in Sunday school, come. It's a time to talk. It's a time to learn. It's a time to share. So, thank you.
Basically, what that means is I get to tell people about Jesus through exercise, and I'd love to tell you more about it. But the one thing I want to tell you about today is that one of the things I learned in Revwell is that you're never too old, that there's no retirement in the kingdom, and as long as you're breathing, God's got something for you to do. So a couple of weeks ago, this is what he taught me. It was Sunday morning, and Dallas had just started speaking, and I wear hearing aids now. And so I'd reached down to my bag to turn them up, and I had all these text messages from my brother-in-law. My sister, the ambulance is here. It's her heart. We're taking her in, and we don't know yet. And when I do know, I'll let you know. So automatically, my fright flight, I'm going. It's like, I've got to get to her. I've got to get to her right this minute. Now, she lives in Hazelhurst, which is almost 3 hours, I think, from here. And I wasn't real sure exactly where they were taking her, because my brother-in-law, the messages were garbled. So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, 3 hours. By the time I get to her, there's nothing in Hazelhurst. They're going to send her somewhere. I don't know where they're going. So all this stuff is running through my mind during service. And so then I get another one. She's in AFib, and they're not going to shock her. We're probably going to life flight her. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's the helicopter. That's not the ambulance, because they couldn't get her stabilized. And so now really worked up. And all of a sudden, I'm telling y'all, if you don't think the Lord still speaks today, get still, because he does. And it was like he said, you believe what you've been studying. And the whole message of the retreat a couple of weeks ago was the shelter, staying in the shelter from that chapter 41 that we're 91 that we're all real familiar with, about the shelter. Especially where it says, you don't have to fear the air of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, and the destruction that wastes at noonday. Because he is our shelter. The Lord really slowed me down. It's like, do you believe this? Because this is what you're fixing to teach. So do you believe what you teach? And so I began to breathe, and I'm like, yes, Lord, let me read a little bit more. And there's words like, he will deliver, he will protect you, he will cover you. Well, that means we're going to have something we need protecting from, delivering from, covering from. And so I began to look at that, and, you know, he always said, never leave us. In fact, that one thing it says, when he calls on me in the time of trouble. Okay, Lord, I'm not just calling. It's more like, Lord Jesus, please, this is my baby sister. By the way, she had an ablation on Wednesday, and she's fine, and everything's good. But here's what I want to share with you, my testimony, that the Lord gave me some more of him. Always want more of him and less of me. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. If you go back and chase that word down, it means home. This is more than a shelter. It's more than a dwelling place. It's more than a tent. It's home. And that's what I want you to get. He's our home. All this stuff is going to happen. I mean, it's not going to quit. And if you go on to verse 14, it says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. Betty finally got transferred to Gainesville that night about 11:30, and they were looking at beds all afternoon. It was just a constant. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't know where she was going to be. I was praying for Shans because it's my hospital. It just is. They do, don't they, Reagan? They do big things at Shans. Or Beth, man, you ought to listen to her testimony. Man, just sit and visit with her for a minute. But anyway, this is what I wrote in my Bible. I will hold fast to you, dear Lord. And in verse 14, it says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. The Lord did not deliver Betty from that right away. He delivered me from that fear and that I got to go right now, knowing full well they weren't going to let me get to her. You know, they weren't going to let me in the hospital. They weren't going to let me, even if I might have thrown a little hissy fit, and they still weren't going to let me in because of all the things going on. But my encouragement and my testimony, make him your dwelling place. Spirit bears witness with spirit, and that's what we do. Because the stuff is coming, y'all. You're going to get another circumstance, maybe not today or tomorrow, but you get another circumstance or something that would trigger you. And hopefully when he says, all right, you're going to believe or you're not going to believe. And y'all, hold me accountable, because I'll get another one too. But to remember that he delivers me in my times of trouble, because I hold fast onto him in love. He delivers us. He protects us. He covers us. He rescues us. The more we know about him and what he does, the more peaceful, calm life we can have. Even though we're still get upset and worried about things, we can be peaceful about it. So thank y'all for letting me share. I have to tell you one more thing. I could hardly talk all weekend long. Those girls were a blessing to sit and listen to me. When I felt the call to speak, same thing started happening. My throat is closing up as we speak. I don't know why this message is so important, but thank y'all for listening to me, and I'm sorry this throat thing. I am well, but whatever this message is, he doesn't want people to hear that we can be calm and we can be peaceful. So I'm drinking water, and I'm taking lemon drops.
Now, Jesus says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And what that means is that none of us are perfect. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us, we're all too dirty and filthy. Unless you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's who he's coming back. He's coming back for a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And the only way that we can be spotless or no wrinkles or not dirty at all is for us to have accepted Christ into our heart, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, and his righteousness was imputed to us. And that's the only way. As I say 1,000 times, it's not by works, lest any of us could boast. Amen? So are you washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Thank you, God, everybody. So let's all stand, and we'll have a song of invitation. If you'd like to get saved this morning and give your life to Christ, I'm going to be standing right here.